Oh, snap.
The world is finally waking up to the crap that's baked into and sprayed on kibble dog food. No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult your vet.
All right. Thank you for joining the Raw Dog Food Truth today with me, Dee Dee Mercer Moffitt, and Dr. Judy Jasek, J-A-S-E-K. I got to spell that out for you, J-A-S-E-K. She's the holistic vet. She's the cancer vet. She's the raw feeding vet. She is the vet you want to see if you are going to start your journey on the raw diet. Because I tell you what, Dr. Jasek, you know, you and I get these calls all the time. People get on board with the raw dog food diet, but then they do some things that just aren't great for the dogs. And what do they call me about? They call me about the food. And what do?
Right.
I send them to you because you guys, listen, 9 times out of 10, I would say 9.5, maybe even 9.9 times out of 10, it is not the food. Now, it might be the food in combination with something else that you're doing. You know, Dr. Jasek, when I'm talking to people, it's like, all right, you got to spend an hour at least on the phone and dig out, are you feeding certain treats? Are you doing dairy? Are you doing a buttload of supplements? What all are you pumping into the dog? And not only that, but there's this blind spot. There's this blind spot with our customers and probably just pet parents around the country where they forget about their veterinary visits and maybe that vaccine that their vet just told them that their dog was due for. Now, I just had a customer. I got to say this. This really angered me, Dr. Jasek. She went in and her dog wasn't feeling well. She went in and, let me back up. She went in to do the vaccines and they said, oh, your dog's due for a lepto. Now, what? The lepto vaccine is not on a schedule. I mean, I would even give that vaccine. Why? Don't you think that's a little bit, I don't know. I don't want to say malpractice, but that's just, why would you tell a customer, a client, your dog is due for the lepto when lepto is not even something that I would give my dog? I don't think you would give your dog the lepto vaccine.
No, I don't even recommend it to my clients. I haven't given it in years. And as we were talking about before the podcast, I've seen huge reactions. And this is something that I see all the time when pets have a flare-up. You know, every animal kind of has their weak point, the part of their body that flares up when the body gets inflamed. Sometimes it's the gut and they have diarrhea or they stop eating, or it's the skin or it's the ears or it's itchy butts or whatever it is. But when I dig into what's going on, because we do need the whole picture, and there seems to be this sort of paradigm out there that, my vet recommended a vaccine and vaccines are benign, so I just gave the vaccine. But people don't think that that could be a contributing factor to the inflammation. And I believe it absolutely is. It absolutely is. And, you know, this year I've seen a lot of skin flare-ups because we've had such a wet year for Colorado. It's been an amazingly wet year. And so more things grow. And so pets tend to flare up. But all that being said, yeah, I also got to dig into the history. Okay, springtime, lots of people do spring, quote-unquote, maintenance, where they start heartworm, they start flea and tick preventative sometimes. They get their vaccines, they're going in and doing all this other stuff, and then wondering, why is there their pet flaring up? And I think the important thing is these vaccines, they're not benign. They mess with the immune system. They disrupt the normal regulatory mechanisms of the immune system. So the immune system it doesn't know what's friend or foe. And to re-regulate the immune system, and really it's re-educate the immune system so that it knows, okay, like I don't have to react to pollen. I mean, there's things that, you know, it needs to react to, like eliminating abnormal cells in the body, mutated cells, things like that. But reacting to everything it comes in contact with is not what the immune system should be doing. And the vaccines really disrupt that. And part of the reason for that is that these antigens in the vaccine, they're injected. So it's a completely abnormal route of exposure. So you take something like lepto that is... lepto affects the kidneys and sometimes the liver, but mostly the kidneys. So it's spread in the urine of infected animals. So the dogs that are at risk for lepto would be like, you know, maybe hunting dogs that are out in the water a lot where there's a lot of wildlife. It's a very kind of select group that would even be at risk of getting something like lepto. But the way that it's meant to enter the body is to the dog going into that water and then they drink the water, or it could also go through like a break in the skin if the dog had a cut or something. But then there's a whole cascade of processes that the immune system does. It recognizes a potential threat. And then there's a whole dynamic, many, many, many steps that it goes through to build antibodies, recruit white blood cells, work on eliminating this organism. When we inject it underneath the skin, you're bypassing all that. And so, yeah, you can maybe stimulate some antibodies, but then it's such an abnormal presentation that it literally can make the immune system go a little bit haywire, because it's not something that the immune system is used to dealing with. And in the case of lepto, the lepto organism has many, many, many different forms. And the vaccine only has a few of those. So you really don't even know. There's not even really good proven efficacy of the lepto vaccine. It's not that common. And what I tell people in my practice is that the most important thing is to keep your pet healthy. Keep the immune system strong. It's like there's this paradigm in the veterinary profession that, well, you know, diet doesn't matter and all this other stuff doesn't matter. Just vaccinate the heck out of them and they're going to be protected against everything. And I would hold to the premise that if we focus on good nutrition, getting the gut healthy, we have a strong immune system, a healthy microbiome, that even if the pet gets exposed, it's going to be able to handle it. That's what the immune system is for. And the vaccines just disrupt that natural process, making it almost impossible for the immune system to eliminate these organisms if the pet, you know, does indeed get exposed to them.
Yeah, I think it's a tough one for people. And They just don't know how to push back on their vet or ask the questions, you know. And if you go in and you say, look, you know, Colorado is one of the areas that's wet and, you know, there are so many wildlife and your dog could be susceptible and it is zoonotic, so it could pass to you. It's just like the people just do it. They just do it. I think that they're so afraid to make the wrong step. And, you know, here's the thing. I get it. We don't vaccinate Asta. She doesn't do flea and tick. She doesn't do heartworm. I've talked about how I've had her gut tested and she's in great shape. But would I be, I think my mindset, I would probably beat myself up a little bit if she got lepto, but then again, I'm not going to suscept her to something that she may not get. I mean, I guess what I'm saying is I'm going to take that risk. I'm going to take that risk because the risk is low. It's sort of like, you know, feeding a raw diet and the FDA comes in and says, hey, this has salmonella. This has, you know, yeah, there's a risk. You know, we read about, Now I don't remember if it was a woman or man who had some sort of sore. They were licked by a dog and they lost their limbs. I mean, I've never heard of that. Obviously it did happen. There was some sort of bacteria, but that is so rare. And in today's world, I was thinking about this the other day. Every little thing that happens, it's like this red flag. Oh my gosh, the world is coming to an end. This is happening, and now we've got to regulate it. You know, I'm thinking, how many billions of people do we have in the world? And you have one thing that happens to one person, and then they want to start. That just doesn't make any sense to me. But this is the way.
It doesn't make any sense. And then they're not, you know, how can they prove cause and effect? I mean, you know, like I said that, like, okay, the dog licked the leg. Well, what else did the guy do? You know, like maybe he went to the grocery store. Maybe he got her to the grocery store. Like just because two things happen at the same time does not prove cause and effect. Unless you can 100% culture, like they culture the bacteria out of his infected leg, and they culture that exact same bacteria out of the dog's mouth. It's an assumption. And I think sometimes in the medical profession, like they just want to come up with a quick reason. Like they don't want to say, hey, I don't know. Let's look into this. Let's dig a little deeper. You know, medical professionals tend to be busy and they just want to give an answer. And because the veterinary profession in general does not support raw feeding, most conventional veterinarians don't, it's just easy to make that the scapegoat. They're looking for a scapegoat. They're looking for a cause. And even if there's no, it's really funny to me, because they, you know, there's all the evidence-based medicine. I can't do anything without a research study behind it. Yet they can, off the top of their head, blame raw food for everything under the sun that, you know, that's going on with a pet, and there's no evidence there. You know, so easy how the, you know, they can flip to the other side when it's convenient and it's supported by the majority of the profession.
Oh yeah. I just had one of our, you know, and I would say new feeders. I think new feeders are anybody that's under 3 years, you know, but who went to their vet, and she was all upset because her vet said, I would not feed raw food, because her dog was sick and got into something. And she said, there's so much bacteria. And she said, I don't know what to say. And I said, well, don't say anything. Who cares what they say? Do your own research. If you don't know what to say, just do your own research. But I have to laugh, Dr. Jasek, because if pet parents would look at all of the side effects, the documented reactions that are stated reactions that have, let's just take Lepto. I was reading this the other day. Here are some of the adverse events that have been recorded from the Lepto vaccine. I'm not going to read them all because we'd be here all day, but here's just some. Dermatitis, vomiting, lethargy, lameness, fever, dehydration, kidney failure, liver failure, pancreatitis, mast cell disease, urinary tract infections, diarrhea, chronic weight loss, enlarged spleen, cancer, and death. Now,
yeah, like, hello.
You know, I just want to pull my hair out when the FDA scrutinizes raw dog foods like they do, and yet we don't have this big long disclaimer from feeding raw diets. It's more like you may experience a better smelling dog, you may experience a softer coat, lesser stools, happier, healthier animals. And yet people just disregard all of these warnings, right? Like, you listen to all of the advertisements for different kind of medications on TV, and it's may cause, you know, this, 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 and this may cause your leg to fall off. But hey, I'm showing you a picture of people running and having a good time while I'm telling you you know, all of these adverse effects. So it blows my mind. Why don't we ask those questions before we go in? Well, tell me what the adverse effects are of giving this to my dog. And yet you want to call your whatever raw dog food company you have and say, my dog, there's something wrong with your food. You've got a bad batch. I want to say.
Yeah, right, right. That would be a great, that would be a great like article to write, a good comparison to do. Like, let's do the comparative risks of things that you do for your pet. Feeding dry food. I mean, the ingredients in your average kibble are so much more risky to your pet's health than raw food. And then things like, you know, vaccines, like you just read those side effects. And yeah, people don't ask. They just believe they're veterinarians. I bet most veterinarians don't read the list of side effects on every medication, every antibiotic. If you actually read all painkillers, if you actually read the list of side effects, it will scare you to death because it's immense. And that list is there because those things have happened. They have to report on that. But you don't hear about that. And I'll tell you the other thing that goes on is, you know, veterinarians are busy and they get this propaganda from the sales reps, from these companies, that they come in and they sell the vet on two things, on fear and on profit. And they say, you know, here's what's going to happen if you don't recommend this vaccine. You know, your clients, if you don't recommend this, and then your client's dog go out and get lepto, then you're going to be responsible for them getting sick. And then they take the potential risk and they blow it way out of proportion. I mean, I've heard, you know, these stories like, oh, well, if you see a squirrel in your yard, then your dog is at risk for lepto. Like, yeah, the dog has to be drinking the squirrel's pee. Like, is that really going to happen? Like, let's use our brains and think about this. But these companies, they'll take the potential risk. They'll blow it way out of proportion. The sales reps have these scripted. And I mean, I listened to this for years. I mean, I quit. I wouldn't even talk to these reps anymore. Not the company reps. I had like my distributor rep and we'd maybe talk about some products and stuff. But for the most part, I wouldn't even talk to the pharmaceutical reps anymore because they have these scripted presentations and the veterinarians just buy into it. It's like, you know, they don't look at the potential risks. They're like, okay, this is what could potentially happen if I don't give this. And, oh, by the way, this is how much you can mark up this product and you can make a lot of money. And it's becoming worse and worse and worse with the corporatization. And I am to the point that I am animately recommending to people not to go to corporate clinics. And it's getting harder and harder to find them because the whole profession is becoming corporatized, but it's so much worse because in the corporate clinics, these are like your VCA is probably the biggest one here that's buying up so many clinics. Those veterinarians have quotas to meet. They're supposed to meet a certain amount of production. They have very limited amount of time with their clients to get into more in-depth discussion. And what they're promoting in those clinics is based on profit. It is not based on medicine because you have some CEO, some big company sitting in an office saying, wow, look at these vaccines. We can mark these suckers up a lot. We can make a lot of money. It takes 10 seconds to give them. The tech can give them. We don't even have to take doctor time. So we want to pump as many of these into animals as possible. And that's where those recommendations are coming from. It's not about the health of the pet. And I'm hearing more and more and more stories from my clients about going into clinics and the experiences that they're having. And they're so disappointed because it's very clear to them that the practice model is profit driven because there's things being pushed on them. They can't really ask questions because they're ushered in and out so quickly. It's really tragic to me that the profession is going this direction, because it's losing the art of medicine. It really is, in the interest of profit. And I think, you know, these are the type of things that people need to think about. This is the real world, and you don't want to think that. You know, I've had people come to me and like they've been going to a clinic for years, 20 years. And they're like, they just got bought out, and it's like it's a completely different place now. They're only interested in the money. I hear that from my clients. I mean, I know it's true because that's the way this works. But I hear it from my clients too. So I think people need to really be aware and really be advocates for your pets and think about these recommendations. Ask, what is my pet's actual risk? What are the side effects of this medication? Because it's just like, you just can't be a blind sheep and just take all of these, you know, recommendations without asking some questions. And I feel like with this corporate influence is really bad. It's bad medicine, but bordering on it is negligent in a lot of cases. And it's really sad to see things going this direction.
Yeah, that's the word I was looking for earlier. It's negligent. And when one of my customers called me, and their dog wasn't feeling good. And, you know, I'm always going to go down the line of questions, and I get to the vaccines. Oh, yeah, I just had the lepto vaccine a month ago. And I said, why? Why did you do the lepto? You live in Denver. Why did you do that? Well, because my vet said that they were due for it. And I said, and that's all they said. They didn't tell you the risk. They didn't ask you if you wanted to continue, but let me tell you about the risk first. No, they didn't. I said, well, that is criminal. I always say criminal. I think it's horrible. But when you really look at what we want, what do people want? People want a way to eliminate risks. We don't want to take risk. We don't want our dogs to be at risk. We don't want to be at risk. And people, I'm here to tell you, life is risky, period. Life is risky. So we can't eliminate all the risk. I think if you educate yourself, you have common sense, you are going to make mistakes and you're going to make bad decisions. That's just part of life. I'm getting ready to go to Austin to speak in my corporate life. I've got a talk coming up on Friday morning. And one of the things I'm talking about is you can bounce back from mistakes and bad decisions. If you learn from that and take that information and do something good with it for yourself and for other people. But you are going to make some mistakes. That's just life in general. And you can survive that. You will survive that. I think what makes people crazy is trying to build this. And I talk about this being in a box. You find yourself in a box because you're trying to stay safe. You don't want to, you know, you don't want to have any regrets. You don't want to feel bad. And like I was talking about Asta, would I feel horrible if she got the lepto virus and she died, let's say? Yeah, I would feel terrible. But I also took that risk with my eyes wide open, and I made that decision, right? I made that decision.
Well, and how would you, on the flip side of that, how would you feel if she got the lepto vaccine and then she got cancer? You know,
because
the other side of that, you know? So you're right. It's not perfect. We have to make judgment calls, and this is biology. You know, there's no perfect diet for every pet. I think there's like this, you know, our culture has been trained by these big pet food corporations that produce the kibbles and these, you know, mass produced foods that, you just find the best food, and then that's what you dump in your pet's bowl twice a day for the rest of its life, and you don't have to think about it. Like, this is biology, and, you know, we're going to get better nutrition through variety, and things might change. Maybe your pet's going to have a little loose stool one day, maybe a little firmer stool the other day. I mean, look at what you're feeding. You know, you need to you know, use your brain cells and adapt. Say, okay, that formula with sardines gave my pet a little loose stool. So maybe I need to back off. Maybe I gave a little too much sardine. I go through this with my dogs because I have a little dog. I have a 5-pound dog. So it's like, okay, I'm going to give this little itty bitty piece of, you know, sardine or something, you know, like, you know, we're working with an ounce and a half of food here, you know,
right.
Feeding. So it's very easy to give a little too much. So if they have a loose stool, I look, oh, you know, a little too much tripe, maybe because tripe, if I overdo the tripe, that will give them a soft stool. But I'm always thinking, what did I feed them? What did they get? Maybe this blend is a little better. It's not like you can ever get just the exact perfect recommendation. And the pets change, their bodies change as they get older, just like us. You know, I don't eat and drink the stuff I did when I was 20 because I could get away with a lot more when I was 20. Now my body says, oh no, you know, you need to be a little more straight and narrow now, or there's going to be more, you know, more effects. And I think people just need to educate themselves. And that's not, you know, it seems like that's not what our culture wants. And it's certainly not what these big corporations want. Another thing people need to realize is all these dog food companies out there, there's only like, what, 3 or 4 big corporations that own the whole industry. These corporations don't want people thinking for themselves and learning about nutrition. They want them to just buy into the advertisements on TV or on the billboards or wherever they see them and just buy their food. They don't want people thinking. But if you want to be the best advocate for your pet, you need to wake up and you need to start thinking and you need to start making decisions on behalf of your pet. And to your point, yeah, sometimes you're going to make the wrong call. I do that with my pets. You know, sometimes, like I said, don't, you know, feed them maybe the exact best thing because I got an idea in my head about what might be good. Doesn't work. Okay. I learned from that. It's not about beating yourself up. It's about education. And I see, you know, I work with a lot of cancer patients and I see people come in and they say, if only I'd known, like, if they've lost a dog, and I see this a lot, they've lost a dog to cancer. They're like, and then they start to educate themselves because they've had the wake up call and they say, if only I'd known, like, well, you can only do what you know. And if you'd known differently, you would have done something differently, you know, but I understand the guilt, like we were just talking about the pet parent, you know, you would feel bad, but this is how, you know, people get educated. And I have a lot of respect for people that come back and they say, okay, now please help me do things differently. I want this pet to be healthy. They're starting again with a new pet and they want to do things different. And they've learned all these things. They've taken that initiative. And I think now more than ever with all this corporatization of the profession, you have to think for you want a healthy pet. You have to think for yourself. You cannot just blindly follow recommendations when you go into the vet's office because they are not necessarily in your pet's best interest.
Right, and I think what people may not know is that you owned your own clinic. You owned your own clinic, so it's not as if you're just, you know, talking hypothetical. You had those reps coming in. There was a cost and profit and loss associated with vaccinating or not vaccinating. As I talked to Dr. Todd Cooney, who's up in Kokomo, Indiana, you know, they stopped vaccinating puppies, which is something I want to talk about in the next podcast. They stopped vaccinating puppies 10 years ago, probably 12 years ago now since I talked to him. But and he said, yes, there was a financial shift that occurred because there was a lot of money that was coming from that. And he said, but we morally, ethically had to make a decision that we wanted to do medicine like you do. Medicine, Dr. Tracy, that we really wanted to be in this profession to help pets be healthy, not just make money. And so there was a financial, you know, loss for a while. But he said, we figured out a way to be more consultative and to do the no-sodes and the homeopathic stuff like what you do. And he can live with himself. He can sleep at night.
Right.
He feels like he's actually contributing to the world instead of contributing to corporate America's very, very large profitable bottom line. So,
yeah,
that's the thing that,
and I can,
go ahead.
I can totally relate to that. I was going to say, I can totally relate to that too, because, you know, I was a conventionally trained veterinarian and early in my career, I bought into all the stories and stuff. And then I started thinking like, I'm just a pawn of these pharmaceutical companies, you know, they're just using me to make money. And I don't really believe that this is the best we can do. And I really got to the point, I don't know, maybe 10 years or so into my career, I'm like, this doesn't feel good. This doesn't feel like medicine. There's got to be more we can be doing to help pets. And so I started educating myself as a medical professional. And then when I started looking at, okay, back then, like it was all vaccines were supposed to be given every year. There was not even this 3-year thing. It was every single year. And I'm like, it's just not making any sense. And so, you know, I made a decision, you know, about how I practice, just like, you know, this other veterinarian you're talking about, like, okay, I can't keep doing this, but you know, it doesn't make good business sense to just drop off of something that's a big revenue source. But then once I realized that that wasn't the best medicine, I couldn't practice that way anymore. I mean, I just had to take the financial hit, and eventually it came back around because I would get more people in that wanted that approach. But in the short term, you know, you do take a hit, but yeah, I don't know how you can practice medicine any other way. Once you believe that something is more correct or is a better way, you know, it's better for the pets. Like, how can you not practice that way? Like I couldn't, if I couldn't be on my own practicing in a way that I believe in, I'd have to do something else. I'd have to like change professions. I mean, I couldn't go into a like, you know, corporate clinic where they dictated to me what I needed to do. And I truly didn't believe that it was good medicine. I'd have to find something else. So there's just no way. I could never sleep at night.
Right. And I think that people think about your own life. Okay. Think about where you make money. And is it possible that if you were making money in a way that wasn't the best for people, that you could be convinced that it was okay? Because there's a part of it that's okay, and you're going to lose all this money if you don't go this direction. Because people are like, well, how could they do that? You guys, their lives depend on it. That's how they can do it. And there's this group that comes in, the reps, the Royal Canin reps, you take them to the factory and you say, look at what we do here. It's so great. And yet they know, because they're seeing, as you were seeing, or else they just choose not to look. But I think that it's easy. When it comes to money, that is what we must have to survive, right? Think about it. If you have kids, you have a mortgage, you have a car, all of these things, and you have no way to really change it and still make money and live, you can convince your mind to do all sorts of things. You could just look the other way. So I don't think it's as easy as people want to say, well, why does my vet do it if it's not good? It must be good if my vet does it. Not necessarily. You just heard what Dr. Jasek was saying. So the onus is on you. The onus is on you to push back. And why, Dr. Jasek, people are afraid of their vets. I mean, are you guys known to like hit people out on your clients? I mean, why are people so afraid to push back on their vet?
Yeah, I don't know. And all they have to do is ask questions. They don't even have to be,
competitive,
a critical. So tell me more about this vaccination and why it's important for my dog, and what are the potential side effects? Like, can I see the package insert? And what are the side effects that the company puts out there? Like, okay, this says my pet could get cancer. Is the risk of it getting this disease worth the risk of it getting cancer if we give this vaccine? And raise those questions. And if the veterinarian, you know, shuts you down or won't go down that road, then in my opinion, I'd be finding another vet, because a medical professional should definitely entertain those questions. And I hear stories of people saying that their vet will not even see their pet if they do not agree to give them certain vaccines when they come in the clinic, if they're technically quote unquote due for something. They won't even see them for any reason if they don't get them updated, which is just ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. I mean, that's just a money driven thing, right there. And especially if the pet is sick, you know, all vaccines are labeled. If you read the label, they should only be given to healthy animals. And I see pets all the time that have, you know, itchy skin, ear infections, or even the cancer patients that they go in and then they get all these vaccines. And all you do is you make those inflammatory conditions so much worse. They should only be given to pets that are 100% healthy with no sign of inflammation anywhere in the body. Because if you have any kind of inflammation, you've got something smoldering, something brewing, and you need to be addressing that before you go insulting the immune system, because you're just going to make those conditions worse when you put, add a vaccine to a picture that's already inflamed.
Well, there you go. There you go, peeps. That'll give you something to think about this week. And wherever you are in the country, you can set up a phone consultation with Dr. Judy Jasek. All right. Her website is Dr. Judy, holisticvet.com. You can also listen to all of the podcasts that Dr. Judy and I have done together. It is going to be on her multimedia tab. Okay. She's also got new clients tab, and just sign up and get a phone consultation. I mean, seriously, you cannot afford to not have a phone consultation. If you're a new feeder out there somewhere and you're not even one of our customers, give Dr. Jasek a call. I think that I could say it all day long, but if you talk to a vet who's actually a gut specialist, I think that she can alleviate a lot of your concerns, help you maybe, you know, adjust the diet in a way that's better for your dog, and just give you peace of mind that you are doing the best thing. Because I don't really care if your dog loves that cookie, that milk bone when they go into the bank or they go into Home Depot. I don't care if your dog loves it. It's terrible for them. It's absolutely the wrong thing to do to put it in their gut. So if you want to know what that's doing to the gut, set up a consultation with Dr. Judy. All right. Dr. Judy, holisticvet.com. All right, Dr. Judy, until next week, have a good one. And remember, friends, don't let friends feed kibble.
Oh, snap.
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble, and where your pet's health is our business.
Just snap.